Huh? Yeah, okay. There we go. Okay. Thank you guys for your ministry to us this morning. I was sitting there as I was listening, and they never asked me to join their singing group, but I hope you appreciate that we have young people. And I want to back it with this. You know, you may not feel totally comfortable with like guitars, and most of us were not raised that in a church that had guitars. And you might think, well, that doesn't seem quite applicable, but that's really, it speaks to our young people, and we're thankful for that. Now, I just want to back it with this. It wasn't too many weeks ago in our elders' meeting, we were saying, you know what, we really need to pray, continue to pray that God will bring on additional leadership and younger youthful leadership. One of us may not be here one of these days. And it was that next week Dick had his heart attack. Kind of woke me up just to think, you know what, we don't know, but we want this church to be here for years and years and years. We want to be faithful to the Lord Jesus. Our styles may change a little bit. We always want to be faithful to Him and to His Word. And so you love and appreciate our young people and thank the Lord for them and pray for them. This is a hard world. Man alive. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I didn't have to deal with that at this age. So just pray for them. Love them, appreciate them, and care for them. We are family, and we want to serve every spectrum of our family. But our young people as well. So enough sermon one. Now we'll go to sermon two, right? Okay. I just wanted to, this was just hit me hard when Jen Aflack, who was Jordan, who is now Jordan Webb's wife. Jordan and Jen met in school, so I taught both of them. And Jen and Jordan are a delightful couple. I just saw them recently at Jordan's grandmother's funeral. So when Jen, whose mother is the one that was killed in the car accident, I just thought, oh man, this young mom, they have her young family, and now they've lost their grandma. So just pray for them. I was thinking, she was on her way to DVBS. She was going to teach. And we never know when the Lord's going to take us out, do we? So, but anyway, I heard my daughter-in-law telling her little boy, my grandson. She said, she was telling about this little story of her grandma, of this grandma going to, she says, but now she's with Jesus. Now she's with Jesus. And so I hope you all know the Lord Jesus. Just as I was thinking of that song, Victorious, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus. Let's just pray. God, we need your help. I thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness. I thank you. I thank you for our little ones that are being taught by Christian and Heather right now. I pray you'll bless and work wonderful things in their little hearts. We pray that each one of our little ones will come to one day and put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And go on and follow the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray for our young people. I thank you for them. They have got a tough, tough journey. I pray your blessing upon them, protection of them. I think of our young families and young parents trying to minister to their little ones. Give them great wisdom in this day of confusion. Just help them, guide them, encourage them, protect them. And Father, I pray for all the rest of us in our journey. Just because we know the Lord Jesus at an older stage in life does not mean we'll finish well. God, protect us. Help us finish well. Help us be not only individuals, but a corporate body of believers who keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus. May the Word of God always be precious to us. May our obedience to you be consistent. Just help us, God. Help us. We pray right now by your Spirit, you will empower me. May my words be consistent with your Word, and may it bring pleasure to you and profit to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we were in Nova Scotia, some months back now, some dear, dear friends who've been, our kids grew up with them, with our kids. And so, you know, we did all the hockey stuff and all that, you know, kind of kid stuff. But anyway, when I drove up the street, I always look. Because on that street is the house, the home of the parents of Sidney Crosby, right? I think that's the closest I'll ever get to greatness, right? Driving past the house slow. But anyway, you think, man, this kid came from Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia. Just a little, I remember when he, just, of course, he was just a little dinky dude then, but even then people were talking about him. What a skilled hockey player. How, it's amazing how long he's lasted and how successful he's been. I mean, what has he not won, right? He is so skilled. I remember, just as a parent, and of course, Sidney was a little bit, I think a little bit younger than our son, Chris. And of course, Sidney went through the ranks really fast. He was always playing, ahead of his age, when he was a little guy. But I remember somebody said one time, and these kids of our friends that live on that street, they would play, you know, roller, you know, ball hockey with Sidney a little bit. One of them played with him when he was younger on one of the teams, the little dinky teams. And so they played together. But anyway, every night, if I remember the story right, he had to shoot 100 pucks before he went to bed. Isn't that interesting? And their basement. I think they had a cement wall there. But anyway, 100 pucks. No wonder he's so skilled. What would you like to be skilled at? What would you really like to be skilled at? You could pick anything. Well, I'm past the stage for hockey. My back knows I'll never do that. Somebody might say, man, I wish I could play a guitar. Or somebody say, man, I wish I had the ability to sing. Some people say, oh, man, if I only had the skill to be advanced in some form of economics or architecture or something. Just, oh, if I only had that kind of, all that kind of training and skill. You know, at the heart of the word in the Old Testament, the word for wisdom is the concept of skill. Now I want you, I'm going to refer to a passage. There's a passage in Exodus, and I'm just going to read it to you because we're going to then go to another passage quickly. But in Exodus 35 it says, and God has filled him with the Spirit of God. And this is Exodus 35, 31, if you want to look there. And then it says, in wisdom. That's our word. That were from the Old Testament, and then in understanding and knowledge and all craftsmanship, to make designs for working in gold and in silver and in bronze. So, at the heart of this word wisdom is the idea of skill. Now, in that sense, it was skill to work with gold. You think, well, I wouldn't mind having that skill, right, if I just had a little bit. But anyway, you just think, the skill of a craftsman in design. And of course, this was in design for the Lord. It's a big, big deal. But skill does not stop at craftsmanship. When we think of wisdom in the Bible, we're talking about somebody who has skill at living. Now, can you think of an athlete, or maybe an actor who has had immense skill in their profession but has made a disaster of their life? Now, we could probably draw a lot of people. I'm sure every one of us had an image come to mind. Now, this is in the football realm, and this is several years back now. But Aaron Hernandez, remember him? He played for the New England Patriots, obviously not a shabby team, in the NFL. He was Tom Brady's favorite target on the football field for a season. He had a contract, a five-year contract, for $40 million. Whoa! I'd like a little of that skill, right? Well, Aaron right now is in prison for murder. How can a guy, he's able to catch a ball in the air before thousands, millions of fans with excellence. And yet he destroyed his life and the life of another person through murder. How skilled are we at living life? Now I want us to think about this. It's very important because we need this, as we've already said, in this world that is way out of orbit. It is wobbling at a humongous speed. The New Testament alerts us that we desperately need skill at living. We need wisdom. And I'm going to go to a variety of passages, but I want to go to Ephesians 5, well-known passage, Ephesians 5:15. Now, this passage, we all need this because we're all in the midst of a matrix going through this world. And in Ephesians 5:15, we read these words. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Okay, be careful how you walk. Now, I was just thinking of poor Glenn's sister. I was talking to his wife, but you know, the lady that fell down the stairs. And Andrea was telling me that she was in another house. She actually was there to give care to her daughter, who was supposed to have a baby, still expecting a baby, and she was in another house. It was night. She was on her phone, and she goes through the. It's kind of dark, right? She wants to be quiet, doesn't wake anybody up, and she goes through this door, and she thought it was into her room, and it was into the stairwell, and that's how she fell, and then broke her poor neck. Oh, pray for her, by the way. Her surgery seemed to go pretty well. But pray for Wanda is her name. Haven't we all done things like that? We didn't watch where we were going. Be careful, therefore. Now, let's read our words. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men. Now, this is in the spiritual realm. But as wise. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Why are we to be careful how we walk? Because the days are evil. Now, a lot of people don't even believe the days are evil. A lot of people don't even use that word evil. There was this mass when ISIS did some terrible, terrible things, and it was a month or so ago, and I heard somebody was being interviewed. You know how they interview people? And they're, it wasn't evil. They were just misinformed. What? Give me a break. Let's call it what it is. It's evil. Now, but they're not the only ones that hate evil. We live in an evil world, distorted, sinful ideas. And we need wisdom because it is evil. One says the greatest skill of all is the skill of living. We could define wisdom this way. God-given insight through His Word. God-given insight. God's insight through His Word to live skillfully in this world. To live skillfully in this world. Now, where's wisdom found? Well, for us, it's not a surprise. I want to go to Romans 11:33. If you'll turn with me to Romans 11:33. Romans 11:33. We read these words. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. It's got so much in it, but we're just going to pull on one thought. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. There's it's just so much beyond us. both the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. God is the source of all true wisdom. Now, of course, in our culture, in our world, the book has basically been discarded, right? It's been discarded. And we feel like, you know, man, we're so sharp. We're so smart. You know, I got my smartphone, right? I am really smart, right? Except if you're playing Pokemon, you may not be quite so smart. If you want off the edge somewhere, right? All these poor smart people are walking right off the edge looking for Pokemon. But anyway, we'll erase that thought. We'll come back. Where is wisdom found? It's found in God. Now let's think back. Let's think of this passage. And I want you to go to another passage. I'll read this to you. If you want to turn there, you can. But then I'm going to move to another one pretty. This is in Daniel. Daniel 2:20. Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to Him." Wisdom and power belong to Him. He is the source of all true wisdom. He's the source of it. And if we walk away from Him, it's like walking off the edge of a cliff. And people are walking off the edge again and again and again. They're just walking right off the cliff. Because they said, there is no God, or if there is, I'm not going to pay attention to Him. And so, they don't know how to handle the crisis. How do you handle when your mother has been killed in a car wreck? How do you handle that? Well, if you know the Lord and she knows the Lord, you can handle that. Painful, yes. But you can still navigate through life and make it. Wisdom comes from God. Now think of this. This is a short little statement in Proverbs 2:6. Proverbs 2:6. And we read these words. For the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. Isn't that awesome? The Lord not only is the source of wisdom, He wants to share His wisdom. He wants to share with us so that we have wisdom. So that we can get through whatever we're facing. And we're all facing stuff, and we're going to face more stuff. That's one thing I realized, that, you know, I'm so young, right? But as I look at people going through the whole journey, going through the whole, you know, when you're a teenager, you think, man, this is the most difficult part of life, right? And I know it's difficult. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But you don't know. Then you find your sweetheart and you get married, right? And then thinks, there's another stage. There's some new challenges. And then you have you have kids. And you thought, oh man, I never knew how peaceful it was until we had kids, right? Oh, I just love baby. I just love baby. Please go to bed. Please go to sleep. Please. We saw our daughter-in-law the other night, and she was sitting on the couch. I was outside with Chris, and she's sitting on the couch, and I came in, and she said, I had a dream, right? She was so sound asleep. She was so tired. She's so tired. Our beautiful little third one is just, she doesn't like to sleep at night. It's so boring. Why sleep when you can yell? You know? We go through the whole stage of life, and then as we get older, then healthy, you know, we used to talk about our kids, now we talk about our aches and pains. And we say, oh man, I'll see you at the hospital again. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be on the same bench, right? Waiting in the same line. And so all, as we go through, we start way over there, and then we go through, and we're over here, and we're trying to figure out, we're still challenging new challenges in an old age, and we're saying, how do I get through this? And God says, hey, I love you. I'm here for you. I have all the wisdom, and I want to share it with you. I want you to know how to deal with raising three little ones. I want you to know how to handle being in the nursing home. I want you to know how to be a teenager when all your friends are mocking you. I'm here for you. I got info for you. How to get through this. And this wisdom comes through the Word. I'm going to read this and then I want to go to another passage. This is Psalm 19:7. Reza says, the law of the Lord is perfect. This book is perfect. And thank the Lord for all the translators who've taken the originals and they've got the manuscripts and they've come down. We've got an accurate text. You can trust this book. It is perfect in restoring the soul. Boy, how we need that. God, I need some help today. Restores my soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Simple is not people that are ignorant, but they don't have the information. They don't know. They're simple. They haven't figured it out yet. And we all start simple. And we need God's word to teach us the truth. Now I want to go to this passage. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15. I love this passage, and I love the way Paul ministers to Timothy and indirectly ministers to us. And in his ministry to Timothy, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from childhood, and he knew his mother and his grandmother, they were great godly examples, and from childhood you have known the sacred writings, this book. And of course, they had the Old Testament, right? Known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, I was thinking about this passage. You know, Timothy had a real great head start because he had a godly grandmother and a godly mom. Probably an unbelieving dad. But his grandmother loved his mother, and she had taught his mother, and now both of them ministered to Timothy as a young boy. The scriptures. You know, it just reminds me the importance of young parents taking the Word of God and pouring it into the lives of their children. Our kids need the word. They need to know. You know, used to we lived in a culture. I mean, I grew up kind of in a culture, and I've said this before, my brother used to say to me, we grew up in a Leave It to Beaver culture, right? A lot of people weren't saved, but there were quite a few people who were saved. And even the people that weren't saved still held to a value system that was somewhat consistent with the word of God. That is we are in post-Christian culture, right? That's where we're at. And so it's all the more critical that we take the Word of God and as a little life, and we pour it into their little heart at their level, at their ability to comprehend. Just as happened in the Sunday school and happening at Hope Valley Day Camp. Thank the Lord for those who take the Word of God and pour it into these young lives. Why? Because it gives them the wisdom. They get the information, the truth from God, the wisdom that can lead to salvation through faith in Christ. Some of these little kids that get on the bus and go to Hope Valley, you know what? This may be the only summer they'll ever hear the gospel. Through the Word. Aren't you thankful for those who love God, who love the Word, and love kids? And they take God's Word and they pour it into the hearts of these little ones. Pray for them. Just a few weeks left. Pray for them. Pray for the camp. Satan hates that camp. Pray for that camp. And pray that young lives will put their faith in Christ. I love it when I see these kids running around here. I just love that. And little Dominic, he was really cute today. He looked like a little hillbilly. I'm sorry, Angela, but he did. He looked like, you know, he had a bow tie and he's running around his bare feet. I thought, man, I wish I could do that. I'd be kicked out of here day one, right? But anyways, running around here like a little hillbilly. But you know what? We hope that little hillbilly gets saved early in life. It's awesome. Have these little ones running around saying, God, thank you. Help us. Be the kind of example that shares the truth with them, both in our words and our lives. That people these little ones might love to come here. They might be loved when they come here. And they might come to know the Lord Jesus who loves them. From childhood, you have known the sacred writings, able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. Oh, if you've never trusted Christ, you know, maybe you've gone through life and, you know, you've kind of just gone through life, maybe went through the motions, maybe even grew up in a church. A lot of people have grown up in a church and now today have not a zip to do with it, right? Christ died for you. He died for you. He loves you. He died for you. He rose from the dead. He can save you. He paid for your sins. But you have to trust Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Put your eternal destiny into His hands. That's the only way of salvation. It's not by being at church, although we're glad you came. It's not by straightening up. It's by trusting Christ and Him alone. Oh, may you not go another day without Him if you've lived up to this point without Him. God's wisdom not only is from God, it not only comes through His Word, but it teaches us how to live wisely. Let's go to a passage, Matthew chapter 7. I think this is a very, very important passage. I was convicted of it this week as I was reading this passage, and I was actually reading another book totally unrelated to my prep, but it was talking about the same passage, Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, it gives just a little chance to catch up. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, okay, we're hearing, right? We're hearing. We're reading the text. We're hearing these words. That's not good enough. Notice what it goes on to say. And acts on them. That was what convicted me this week. And acts on them may be compared to a wise man. It's not enough to hear, but act on what we know. Acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house. And it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock of the Lord Jesus. Right? Now, read on. Everyone, verse 20, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on, notice, he hears, got the information, maybe he's got a PhD. There are people who are absolutely brilliant about the Bible, but they do not act on what they know. Notice what it says. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. It was catastrophic. I was talking to my brother, I guess on Monday. I wonder, he lives in Mississippi, and that's pretty close to Louisiana. Right? If you watch the news, there's a lot of water in Louisiana. Anyway, I was calling him and he said, "No, we're fine. We have rain. They always have rain in Mississippi, right? But it wasn't flooded out." But he says his daughter, his youngest daughter, he said her best friend lives in Louisiana. And he said the last they heard in their house, there was 4 feet of water in their house. Now that was the last they heard, and the water was rising still. Kiss that house goodbye. Now my brother, he used to live in Mississippi, where they obviously gets lots of rain too. He used to live close to a creek, and I would go out, and I would, when I, the few times I was there and I saw his house, I thought, boy, if it had rained here a lot, you might be in big trouble. He said, yeah, it got, the water at one time got up to our parking lot. I mean, that's a lot of water. But then he moved, right? My brother moved. And the last time I was there at his house, he's up on a hill, right? You can tell he's right from our family, right? We're really sharp about things like that, right? That's a joke. Okay. Where are you building? What kind of house are you building? What kind of life are you building? You see, a lot of people are building, they put lots of money, lots of effort into their life. The problem is they built it on the wrong stuff. And catastrophic was the collapse. Oh God, may we not be foolish. We need God's wisdom, God-given insight through His Word to live skillfully in this world. Now there's so many things about wisdom that is wonderful, but I just want to note the value of wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs 3 for just a moment. Proverbs 3. 3:13. And I read these words. Verse 13, how blessed. Now, I was thinking of the song we sang. One of the songs said, happy, how happy. We could translate that here. How happy is the man who finds wisdom. Jumping down to 14. Her profit, wisdom's profit, is better than the profit of silver. And her gain better than fine gold. Now, I have to show you my little. If I can find it, I got more stuff in these pockets. You couldn't get away that easy. I'm sorry. Okay. Isn't it amazing? Now let's say I had diamonds in here. I mean really beautiful diamonds. I would get away from this guy, right? Keep my diamonds, right? He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He saves your kids, so be nice to him, right? Okay. Let's say I had diamonds in here. And let's say I was going to pour my diamonds out on the floor. I say, the first one here can get it. Right? We would have chaos. Right? Of course, Christian chaos. Christian chaos. Right. But still chaos. I love you, but give me that diamond or I'm going to kill you. Right? No. We like stuff. And I'm not saying, you know, if you've got some diamonds, you know, I'm not going there. That's not an issue. The problem is, if we're building a whole life on stuff that doesn't last. But if we find wisdom, it lasts. You know what wisdom does? It not only tells me how to get through life, it will benefit me in eternity for the rest of my life. Do you want that kind of wisdom? See, it's exceedingly valuable. It's more valuable than gold or precious stones. How we need to not miss out on the wisdom. God wants His very best for us. But you know what? We have to seek wisdom. There's a passage, and I'm going to read this, and I'm going to go right to another one. This is Proverbs 4, verse 5. Acquire wisdom. Acquire. Get it is another trick. Get wisdom. Go for it. Go for wisdom. Verse 6, do not forsake her, for she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. God wants to protect us, but we have to seek wisdom. Wisdom is available, but we have to search out. Now, if you'll turn with me to Proverbs 2 for just a moment. Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. And he says this in verse 1. Talks to my son, or says, any of us applicable. He says, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. But we have to seek it. We have to go for it. Again, in speaking of wisdom, and this is in Proverbs 8, I love those who love me, wisdom says, and those who diligently seek me will find me. All Are you seeking wisdom? Are you going for the gold that God offers? You know, years and years ago, when our youngest son, we took a father-son day out, and we went down along the shore. I think we ended up down in Lunenburg, but on our way, and this is in Nova Scotia, on our way back, we stopped at what's called Oak Island. I don't know if you ever heard about Oak Island, but there was an unusual pit, and then there's been some really strange finds there. But one of the early rumors was Captain Kidd hid treasure on Oak Island. And someone said it was more one of these, you know how these rumors go. One of these guys who was apparently a dying sailor said there was over 2 million pounds of gold buried in Oak Island. I see I got a doubter in the audience, right? Now just think. People have heard that rumor and they have gone looking for the gold. I Googled this early this morning. I was looking through all the people, all the explorers, even John Wayne, when he was still alive. He invested in machinery to help dig up this. You know what? They've dug and I wish I'd have bought the book, because when I was in Nova Scotia the last time, they had Oak Island, and they had solved the mystery. I don't know. There's been a lot of people trying to solve that mystery. And you know what? Some people have lost their lives trying to solve that mystery. Going for the gold? Now, I don't know how you're living your life, but you know what? If we don't go for God's gold through God's word, we can end up just missing out on God's best. God wants to pour his wisdom into us so that we will live skillfully the rest of the journey we have. May we, with the same enthusiasm that people are going for the gold and supposed gold in Oak Island, may we have the same enthusiasm to find God's gold in God's word. We need his wisdom. In our culture, in our Christian culture, the word of God is taking less and less and less a place of importance. No wonder we're not doing so hot in our churches, in our lives, and throughout our culture. May God help us go for the gold that counts for eternity. Let's pray. God, we're here. We just admit it. We just admit it. A lot of times we're so interested, we're so concerned about things that really don't count for much. They're here for a moment. They're glittery. We understand that. It's not necessarily wrong to have it. But yet, if we live our whole life pursuing it, what are we missing? God, help us go for your gold in your word so that we will live life skillfully from this day until the day we're before you. We cry out to you for this. In Jesus' name.